This is Cheryl McQuaid. I'm with the Lansing Fisher Body Historical Team. We're at the UAW 602 Union Hall Conference Room. It's December 13th, 2005, approximately 11:15 a.m. We're preparing to interview Karen Dunkel. First, we're going to go around the room.
Marilyn Coulter.
Mike Fleming.
Doreen Howard.
John Fedewa.
Jerry Smith.
Karen, would you please state your name and spell your last name?
Karen S. Dunkel, D-U-N-C-K-E-L.
And what is your address?
436 White Pine Boulevard, Lansing, 48917.
And are you married? Do you have children?
No, I'm single. I have three stepchildren.
And could you tell us a little bit about your educational background?
I graduated from Waverly High School. Took some classes down at LCC, don't have any type of degree or anything.
Okay, and do you remember, could you tell us what your seniority date is and your memories of walking into the plant the very first time?
My seniority date is 5/22 of 78. When I hired in, I was just overwhelmed. I don't know if I want to say this or not, but... it was like a meat market. That's exactly what it was. I mean, someone hollered, a gentleman hollered, "Oh, new meat on the block." And I just went, "Oh my God, what am I doing in here?" That was that.
And what shift did you hire into?
I hired in on nights.
Nights. Mm-hmm. And what job?
I was, on door papers. They kind of used me as utility extra board at the very beginning.
Okay. Why did you come into the factory?
Why did I come into the factory? It was there, not having any college education, and they were hiring, and I just came and stayed overnight on the lawn out front at Fisher Body and put my application in. I got there about 2 o'clock in the morning and camped out with a bunch of people and was probably hired 2 weeks later.
And you were raised around the factory. Do you remember driving by and seeing Fisher Body? And
yeah, I remember it being there and existing, you know, but far as, you know, paying very much attention to, as a child, what was going on over there, or if it affected, you know, the environment or anything that I lived in, it was here nor there, I guess.
Okay. How long did you do the door paper job?
Probably did it for a couple weeks, and then, like I say, they kind of switched me around where they might need somebody.
Do you remember some of the other jobs that you did?
Oh, yeah, I did a lot of different jobs. Throughout my whole 25 and a half years there, let's see, what did I do after that? I did BX2 moldings for a long time, and did that.
Marilyn Coulter.
Karen, can you tell us what a BX2 molding was and what you did with it?
At that time, a BX2 molding was the molding on the side of the door, and at that time, they were chrome. And you had little clips, and you had to snap it onto the side of the doors. And then you would also have to take two screws to bolt that to secure it, besides the clips being on there.
Was that a hard job to do?
No. I didn't feel it was hard. It wasn't hard for me, but what was for someone else, it could have been. But no, it wasn't a difficult job.
Okay, and after BX2 moldings?
You guys are really striking back. Trying to get them pages to turn. I went on utility for a while, and I was in the area where they did tail lights, they installed door glass, they did door rubbers. Trying to figure out what that one job was. The lights that were on the side, Does anybody remember that? And they went on the...
Is that a Besolite or...
That's a possibility. I can't recall exactly. But it was the light on the 88s and the 98s.
It was the center of the You know, Marilyn Coulter, you said when you came in, they said new meat. So once you became a night shift worker, was there any kind of pranks that were pulled on you? Was there any kind of initiation, considering other than being called new meat when you came in?
No, not at that time. Can I recall? No.
Were there many, what was the age group, young people, old people, people your own age?
There was people that were probably 10 years older than me, and then people of my own age.
So what was the night shift like?
The night shift was... It's hard to describe. at that time, it was like party. Everybody, a lot of the people were young, and it was party time. And I mean, even some of the after work, you'd get together. You know, there'd be house parties after work, and just, you know, that party type of life. And oh, how things have changed. Thank God.
Michael Fleming.
You talked about when you said you came in new meat. That's considered a cat call or some type of what we would consider harassment. How long did it take before you noticed, after you'd been here for a while, that that sort of thing kind of went away, or did it stay?
There was things, I guess, it depended on it, on the individual, far as like with me, because I was one... I didn't take no crap. So, I mean, I stood up for myself, you know, and so I didn't get affected by maybe the sexual harassment aspect of it. Yeah, you would do your little playing around and stuff like that, but it was never on a serious, you know, matter. So it was, I think if you just stood up for yourself, then they realized that, some of the men in there realized that, hey, you're not going to tolerate this, and they're going to treat you with respect.
You talked about when you first got your education, you took some classes at LCC.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to utilize your benefits through General Motors to that, and your negotiated benefits to take those classes, or did you have to pay for them yourself?
No, I paid for those myself, because that was back like in 70, after I graduated, during high school, and then after graduation.
You do have stepchildren, you said?
Yes.
Are any of them going to junior college or college?
No.
Okay, so you haven't had a chance to utilize your TAP for anything?
No.
Okay.
Marilyn Coulter.
Karen, I wanted to go back to when you hired in. Did you hire in the trim shop and the on the B line, I believe it was the B line and the A line back then. Can you tell me about the area that you hired into? And then I also want to know, were there very many women on the night shift?
I hired into the trim shop, and I believe it was the A system at that time. But both lines were on the same floor. There was quite a few women. Of course, there was more men than there was women. You know, I don't know, maybe a 30%. That's my guess. 30% over 70%. Yeah.
One question I would like to ask, what about the facilities as far as restrooms? Were there a lot of restrooms there for women?
What I recall, it was sufficient. I mean, there was, even for the men and the women, I don't think there was enough facilities.
Okay. Cheryl McCoy. Karen, how old were you when you hired him?
I was 21. Oh. A very young, naive 21. And I grew up fast from being in there.
Mike Fleming. Were you ever involved in layoffs or strikes that we had here?
I was involved in what I can recall, one layoff, and that was in 1984 when we went to the Grand Am, and I was laid off indefinitely. And that was a scary situation for me, but I was only off for like 2 months.
Why was it so scary? Would you like to share that?
It was scary for me because the fact of not having any other background, didn't know what I was going to do and if I was not going to be called back to my employer at that time.
How about strikes? Were you involved in any of the strikes that we had that you can remember?
No, not that I recall. There was one later on, I believe. Wasn't there?
Yeah, there was a couple, but we'll go past that.
Oh, okay.
You spoke about when the Grand Am. What type of vehicle do you drive, if I can ask you?
At this point?
Yes.
I drive a GMC Yukon.
Have you traditionally had GM vehicles, or?
No.
What type of vehicles were you driving?
My first vehicle, well, I've always had GM products, I guess I should say.
That's what that was.
Yeah, and I had a 1980 Chevy Malibu. I had a Camaro IROC.
Oh, wow.
And, no, it wasn't nice. No. They bought it back from me, matter of fact.
Okay.
And under the Lemon Law. And then I went to Grand Am's, and I had an 89 Grand Am, a 93 Grand Am, that they bought back, and then I had a 94 Grand Am, and I just got rid of that a year and a half ago, and my niece has that, and that's, I bought the GMC 2003 Yukon.
How do you like that one?
I like it. I wish it got better gas mileage, of course, just like anybody else driving a SUV, but I like it.
Doreen Howard.
I want to take you back a little bit. You said that when you hired in that you were a naive 21-year-old and that you learned a lot of different things. Can you talk a little bit about the culture of the plant and how that's changed over your time frame from when you first started till present?
How it's changed. It just changed far as, I guess, the way I look at it. The supervisors back then when you hired in, they were more laid back. They were the older time supervisors. And they just, I don't know, they seemed to work with the people better, some of them. And then in the latter part, when I was there, they had the contract supervisors. And that was a tough situation, I think, for everybody. Just the simple fact of, they were just, how do I want to put it, they didn't know what was going on, and they didn't know how to respond to the people on the line. They just went basically more with the upper management type of thing. Thing changed far as the partying aspect. Well, I don't know for sure because I went to days after a couple years of seniority. It changed for me. It's that growing up type of thing. You didn't see or hear it about it as much. I didn't anyways. Just a change of lifestyle. Far as the ergonomic issues that changed in the plant, they started the program. I'm not sure as of what date they started this, but I think that helped in a sense, but I think a lot of it was a little too late. Because you had an older workforce, and they worked for so many years doing these jobs and not doing a rotating process like they're trying to put into effect nowadays. And a lot of people are already hurt or injured, and so that's why I believe that it's just too late. Some of it, as far as the ergonomic issues, I can give you an example. I was on a job that they were putting a job together with a bunch of things taking off work from one employee to, because they were overloaded or apparently, And I was 11 inches too short for the job. And my supervisor told me, he says, well, we're going to have to disqualify you. And my explanation was, you're not hurting my feelings by doing that. You're doing me a favor. If you can't give me what I need to do the job properly so I don't injure or hurt myself or the next person, then disqualify me. You know. So I think there's, and they did end up building a ramp to accommodate. But, you know, so those are some of the changes that I seen, you know, in the time that I was there.
Mike Fleming, some of the culture that you all had, or camaraderie you had, which is part of culture, when it came to parties, birthdays, anniversaries, talk about the old supervisors when you all had parties versus getting closer and closer to the newer and the contract ones. Which were the better times for you?
Which was the better times far as for...
The cultural dinners that you had and, you know, those types of things. Which do you think were better?
I think it was probably better in the earlier years than in the later years. I'm referring back into the 80s. Far as the supervisors working with you and allowing you to go around, if you were the organizer for a Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving or whatever. And I say that because I had a supervisor in the 1999, I believe it was, and I was doing a retirement dinner for 6 retirees organizing it. And the supervisor I had at that time stated that I had to take a vacation day, the day of the retirement. He could not guarantee me to get off of the line to do this, to put this dinner on. And so the 6 retirees, I took my vacation day, and the 6 retirees, after the fact, they went up to him and gave him a wrath of stuff, and he ended up giving me my vacation day back.
Sure.
So, you know, so I could say back in the older days, in the late 70s, early 80s, I believe that the supervisors seemed to work with you a little bit better.
Did you all have an opportunity to cook in your departments then, or could you not cook back then, or whatever? Because it got to where, I think, at one point.
Exactly. I prepared chicken and a big old roaster and different things like that, you know, so
right,
yes.
Right here in the plant, right?
In the plant, yes. Yep, right in the plant. And I know that they frowned on a lot of that. There was, at the latter part, people who would bring in breakfast burritos that their wives would make, and they were trying to stop that, and they didn't stop it because they kind of hit it and slid it by, you know. So
how was the cafeteria back then versus now?
Well, I don't really have an opinion on that, just a simple fact, because I never attended the cafeteria very much. Only basically what I would go up there and get would be a salad when I would frequent the cafeteria.
Cheryl McQuaid. Karen, do you remember any partners or people that you worked with that had a big impact on your life?
Good or bad?
Either or.
No, I can't say that there was any that was, you know, really bad. I can remember one partner I had. I was on front-end panels. And that job that I was on, I probably should have never been on it because I got hurt on it. And I had men who came up that were 6 feet tall, 200 and some pounds, and wanted to bump me because they were going to have to go to nights. And that was why I took the job, because I didn't want to go back to nights. And this was in the 90s. And they... said, you can have this job. What are you doing on this job? You don't belong on this job. I mean, and they were right, you know, because it was too much of a job for me to handle. But I did it. I hung in there. I was just, hey, ain't nobody going to outshow me, you know. And so the partner that I had on that job, he was really helpful, you know, to me. And not just doing the job, but just far as making the day go by fast, just really, you know, is a fun partner. I mean, I had a lot of fun partners, but I guess he's the one that stands out most to me, you know.
Karen, do you remember any of the collections that were taken up for people in the plant? Sometimes it was a house fire or any of those types of things?
Oh, yeah. There was always collections that were being taken up. If there was someone who lost a family member, you'd have a card. It might be just in that department that you always, you know, supported and took up a collection. There was other big major collections that were done actually at the door for like deaths or my sister, she was involved in a big collection. Her 6-year-old daughter had gotten Guillain-Barré syndrome, which attacks the nervous system, and she just went totally down and she couldn't walk. It gives you paralysis. And so they took up a collection for her, and then they had an article in the Line Times and all that stuff. But so, yeah, there was a lot of that went on for supporting each other. It was almost like, you know, working in there, it was like one big family. You know, there was a lot of support of each other, just a lot of good times. You met a lot of good people, you know, and all that. So there was a lot of that went on.
Marilyn Coulter.
Karen, you said that it was like a big family. Can you say, tell me, what type of things did you do for lunch when you worked there?
Well, in my younger years, I used to go over to Harry's across the street, which was a bar, and they serve food, too. But or that, you go out in the parking lot or get in your car and run down to the store. But after that, as I matured, as I might say, I would just stay in at lunch. I did a lot of playing cards with other people that I worked with on my lunch hour. That or just sitting in conversing.
What types of cards did you play?
Cribbage, basically. Played cribbage.
Now, the people that you worked with, did any of them become extended friends outside of the plant? And did you do any things with these people outside the plant?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What types of things did you do outside?
Oh, would invite them to my house to have different types of parties, like home interior parties. And I can say back in the younger days, it was the parties, you know, the alcohol and different things like that. But yeah, just like home interior parties, party-like parties. Now I do some Arbonne parties, just different things like that. Going out to the bars with friends.
This is, if I'm not mistaken, isn't there a group of you that for a while, I don't know if you still do, but you used to go on camping trips? Made it an annual camping trip that you do with some of the coworkers?
Yeah. There was a few years that there was like 10 or 12 of us girls that we'd go camping and we'd spend the weekend camping and canoeing and different things like that, or we'd get together and maybe at the Christmas time and go down to Frankenmuth or Bronner's and different things like that. Yeah.
Doreen Howard.
You were hired in when the plant was called Fisher Body, correct?
Correct.
How do you feel about the name changes that occurred over your time frame being there?
The name changes, they changed, but I never changed. It was Fisher Body to me. It'll always be Fisher Body.
And they consider Fisher Body the capital of quality. What do you feel makes that statement true?
There's probably some parts of it I could agree with as far as capital quality. But I guess I've seen a lot of things that I disagreed with building the vehicle and the different products that we had to use, the materials. And they sent us to all these classes back in the 90s on different things, way things were going to change, and they weren't going to be the quantity, it was going to be the quality. And I guess me as an employee, it really discouraged me, those classes, because I go back to the line, and there was things that I saw that, yes, maybe the average customer would not see, that I wouldn't want on my car. You know, so they always was preaching to me, my opinion, quality, 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 but I don't feel that that was always their number one goal.
Michael Fleming.
when you came in, can you remember how much you made an hour when you first hired? A roundabout, maybe.
No, I can't even. I don't remember.
Did you work any changeovers?
No. No. It was like when I got my time out of there, I wanted out of there.
Marilyn Cole.
Karen, excuse me. You worked nights and you worked on the line. What types of things did people do or did you do to get through the night? Did you have radios? Did you just talk to your coworkers? How did you get through the nights being young and on the line?
I had the radio. I always have had to have my radio. You know, it just keeps you going. And now I hear at the new plant they're going to get rid of it. That's sad. Because it just motivated me and kept me going and kept your mind on something other than just that same repetitive type of thing. Plus also you would have that partner that you could converse with, you know, or the person down the line, three or four jobs, be hollering back and forth.
Did you ever hear the radio, what was known as the radio wars?
Radio wars? Oh, yeah, radio wars.
Can you describe what those were?
The radio wars were where there was all these different stations that everybody would be playing because everybody had their own type of music that they would like to listen to. And then there was ones who would kick it up, and then the other person couldn't hear theirs. And so it was back and forth type of thing of who's going to win out the battle so they could hear the radio. But I think back in the early days, it wasn't as prevalent, I think, as in the later years.
Do you remember any of the, or was there any implant vending? Like, did people buy Christmas products, cookies, any things like that? Did you buy any of that stuff? Anything that you bought?
You mean from other employers that would sell it for their children or stuff? Oh, yes. Yep, somebody would always be bringing in, especially around the holidays, for the kids to go to camp or for their band or whatever, for the schools. And, yeah, purchase the products. Yep, a lot of that.
Cheryl McQuaid. Karen, do you remember any supervisor that you really liked or didn't like, and why?
Yeah, there was a few supervisors back in the older days that I really liked, you know. And then some that I'd go head-to-head with, you betcha.
What made a good supervisor?
I guess, to me, someone who was understanding, who gave you respect, and just that would listen to your problems and your issues that maybe that you had with your job, you know.
Doreen Howard.
What's one of your best memories of Fisher Body?
One of my best memories. Oh, my goodness. I know I got to have some. No. No, I think it was probably just the people. You know, I'm out of there now, and I think it's just the people, the camaraderie that we had. I mean, even though there was a certain amount of separation, you know, in 2000, you know, or a little before that, a certain amount. But I think it was just, you know, the friendships. I mean, I don't. Are you looking for something specific? Oh, okay. I can think of a lot of things back in the early 80s where people would play pranks on each other, and for some ungodly reason, I worked by door rubbers just before a water test, and they would throw me in the trunk and send me all the way in the car down through water test. And it was just, you know, those fun little things that they would do, and that someone else would cover your job. But probably that's one memory, crazy memory that I remember.
Mike Plumbing, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but do you have any family members that work for General Motors?
Yes, I do. I have two sisters that work there.
Which plant?
The one she first hired in at Oldsmobile, but then she was laid off and had the option to come over to Fisher, and she came over there, I believe it was in 1983, and then I have another sister that hired in there in 1981.
And so when you all have an opportunity to get together as family, do you all have an opportunity to talk a little bit about the times that you had at Fisher Body? What kind of conversations go on when you have, like, Thanksgiving dinner together or something?
There's times that we discuss it, but there's, I mean, in different situations and what's going on, especially seeing I'm out of there now, I try to, you know, find out what's going on, what the hearsay is through them, what they're doing, because they're laid off right now. We never really... Well, with my one sister, I guess you could say that we discuss a lot of negative things, you know? Maybe I shouldn't be recording out because you might not like that very well.
Now, those are the things that impacted you. Certainly talk about them. I mean, that's just quite all right.
Mm-hmm.
Doreen Howard.
You said that you're not in the plant right now. Would you want to discuss what happened as to why you're not in the plant at all?
I'm not in there because I went out on a medical in 2003. They finally put me out on a medical disability. From some of the jobs that, like I say, I probably shouldn't have been doing that I did do, my back and my wrist and my elbows, and they just said, hey, you're just no good to us no more, so see ya. So I said, okay.
You touched base a little bit earlier about some of the ergonomic issues, and you said you think that the ergonomics has helped to change some of these jobs that you were hurt on at all?
Has it changed the particular jobs?
Yeah,
at that time, I don't even think it was implemented at the time when the first injury with my back occurred. And then, as far as my hands, no, there wasn't a whole lot that ergonomics, you know, I felt at that time. Basically, there's no changes that they could make. I mean, I heard that a lot from ergonomics on some of the jobs. You know, it's all the way it is, and that's the way it is. And I'm just a firm believer there's some people that can handle that type of work and that repetitiveness, and then there's others that are going to break down sooner and quicker than other people are.
For the people who are not here to see you, you're a very tiny and petite woman in... That may play into some of the issues. Do you feel that being a small stature had a lot to do with problems?
Yeah, I believe there is a possibility of some of that, but I also wonder about your genes, just the way, you know, and it has to do with the way that you're built, your structure, if you were made to do some of that type of work. You know, because like I say, there was some jobs that I was on that were... I had men come up and say, what are you doing on this job? They didn't even want to do the job, you know. And then I had another job where I was crawling in and out of the vehicle to do headliner, which is the headliner on top of the roof on the inside of the vehicle, and putting the lights on up there. And being 5'3 and 3 quarters, you had to step up to get up into that vehicle. You had no ramp. I had no ramp at that time. And had to step up, and it was probably about a 3.5 to 4 foot step up into the vehicle. And then I had to sit right on the metal, no seat, sit on a metal, the tunnel in the middle of the car, raw metal, just sit on it. So it was like, yeah, so there's just a lot of different things that probably through the years, the 25 and a half years that I was employed there, that affected me and probably affected a lot of other people, I'm sure.
Michael Fleming.
Would you like to talk a little bit about when maybe the last time that you were 179, went to medical, and then your therapy rotted the head? Did you do any therapy in the plant?
Yeah, I did therapy.
And 179, for the record, is an interview where they
have a no job available within restrictions of what you have for your disabilities. So back to the question again.
Just talk about the last time that you can remember being 179. What trip you took from there? I'm sure you had to go to the medical department or wherever they 179'd you to.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you go to the medical department because you have no place to go, and then they exit you. Mm-hmm. Or either you go to therapy. Mm-hmm. Or even talk about any time you did therapy, was it any good for you here?
Mm-hmm. I was on restriction, and the medical had put me on restriction a couple different times back. The last time, and what I basically went out for, was the elbows and the wrist. And went to medical. They put me on restriction. Went out onto the line. They gave me restricted jobs. So I worked like basically offline doing rework type of thing. That, yes, I went through physical therapy right there in the plant. That was through Ingham Medical. They built these solid casts for my hands, and I couldn't even, they were hard plastic, and I had a hard time just functioning, you know, to do the job in these casts that I had to wear while I was doing these rework jobs. And then they sent me, Fisher Body sent me to a specialist, a hand specialist, and I had cortisone injections. Couldn't have any more of those because I had, like, I don't know if you call it allergic reaction or whatever, and I ended up getting atrophy in my wrist where the muscles and the tendons, everything was collapsing, it was deteriorating, and I only had 2 injections in each hand. So that was basically, and then at that point in time after that, they said that it wasn't going to get any better even if I had the surgery, because it could just come back if I kept doing the same type of things. So they decided to 179, and that's where the management meets with the union and they put you out the door.
And so from there you ended up retiring.
Yes, I was on workman's comp for a year from 2002 until 2003, and in June in 2003, they decided to give me a medical.
Just one more question. Did you have a very good time dealing with the medical department, the doctors in there? Can you think of a doctor that you liked least than you did another? What was your doctor experience like in the medical department?
In the early years, if you ever had to go down there, far as just if you didn't feel well or this, that, or the other thing, the doctors in the medical department were very, very bad. And I can't tell you exactly when it changed. When my experience changed with medical was back in probably 2000, and Dr. Leighton Kloss, who is up at medical, she is excellent, you know, and I think she just cared about the people, and she understood, you know, what was going on with all this work that was being put on to employees, and they were, you know, getting injured and whatnot. And I think I also seen some of the nurses that had been there for some time, their basic attitude changed. And one of them that I don't even know what her real name is, everybody just called her Sarge because she used to be so hardcore. But she even changed her basic outlook when people would come up there to get treatment, because I think she finally understood that these people and the way they're putting, loading the jabs down, these people are really getting hurt and they're really getting injured. You know, and we need to be looking out for these people much more. So I seen a shift of, from years prior to of late in the 2000s, that they were more understanding, you know, and not more on the management type of side and GM side. And they were seeing that people were really coming down there with a complaint that was sincere.
You were on day shift.
Correct.
That's why you had Dr. Lathan Claus. Mm-hmm. So you were very blessed to have Lathan Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Marilyn Coulter.
Just to give people an idea, can you tell us, on the average, how many hours you worked a week? I mean, did you work Saturdays, Sundays? Did you work 6 days, 5 days? How many days a week did you work? And how many hours did you work back then when you were working steady?
When I was working steady, it would vary. It would depend on, you know, how the production was and how the vehicles were selling. There was times that I had worked 10 hours, you know, and the line would never stop and the next shift would come in. You know, it was very few times. But, you know, and there was years that we had worked 6 days a week, you know, and 9 hours a day. And then in the latter part, then, of course, things kind of went on a slump, and we didn't get see as much overtime as what we used to.
Karen, is there anything that we've not asked you that you'd like to discuss with us or tell us about?
Not that I can think of this time. Mike's got to jar my memory here again. He did that earlier.
Well, Karen, I tell you, you're giving an excellent interview. I'd like to ask you about the people that you worked with before you retired, just that group of folk, that core group of people that you worked with. Do you all keep in touch? Have you talked to any of those people at all?
There's a few, yeah, that I do, and some that have retired that I keep in touch with, and that they were like my brothers or maybe my dads when I hired in, because they kind of took me under their wing because I was that naive little individual, you know, and said, oh, watch out for that one, watch out for that one. But, yeah.
Can you identify with the fact that now that you're not working, that you really did have a little bit of stress on you as far as having to get up and be there at a certain time and have certain stuff done? Do you feel better that you actually now have the pressure of having to come in to punch in?
Yeah, because it's like the people that say, boy, I don't know what I'm going to do when I retire, I don't understand it. I actually do not. It's like, I guess they need to get a life, you know, because it's like, I don't have any problem staying busy. So, yeah, because now I can do it at a little bit different schedule instead of, you know, trying to schedule it in on a work schedule.
Well, I'm Marilyn Coulter.
Karen, you put your time in at Fisher Body, and then you changed the name, it's always going to be. And now we know that this building has since been sold and we're going to a new facility. How do you feel about the building closing and going to be demolished?
How do I feel about that? I feel that it's pretty sad. It's been there for so long. But I guess it's, you have to look at it, it's a time for change. And hopefully it's a good change. And things will progress for GM and for the people that are still there. And about the new plant, I hear some things that I don't like, and I know I wouldn't want to have to go in there. And those things are, you can't have any water at your bench, You can't have a radio. You can't, you know, it's like you can't. And it's like, come on, what are you doing? You know, you can't confine people, so I guess is what I'm saying, and tell them you can't do this and you can't do that. You got to give them a little bit of leniency. Because I'd go nuts if I was working in there and I didn't have my radio to get me by for 8-9 hours.
No.
And singing and beep-bopping.
Were you working there when the smoking ban took place?
Yes, I was. At the very end of it, yes.
How did that change affect you and your coworkers who were smokers?
Well, I'm a smoker, unfortunately. On again, off again. And I guess I look at it, I'm a smoker, but I can go into a restaurant, and I don't understand smokers that go into a restaurant and can't have their meal. Then when they get done, go outside the building and smoke. So it's like, that's just me. Everybody's different. Far as I didn't have at work, you know, you had to go longer, which, hey, that was fine. But I just feel that, I don't know, it's probably for everybody's benefit, even me being a smoker, to be helpful, to be a non-smoking plant. But, like, this Waco, they have gone way too far. You know, it's like, you can't even smoke at home. Now, wait a minute, you can't tell me, you being my employer, tell me what I can do on my own time. I'm sorry.
One other question. Were you ever involved in any of the union activities, be it on any of the committees or any of the functions that they had?
As far as being a helping hand, volunteering, no, sorry, I haven't.
Did you ever attend any?
Yeah, I've attended the picnics and different things like that, y'all. Yeah.
Cheryl McCoy. Karen, when we first hired in, we were told 90 days before you had any union representation. How were you introduced to your union representation? Do you remember your union being a part of the scene?
Boy, you guys are really asking me to rack up them dead brain cells, aren't you?
It's good.
It's like, I can't recall, Cheryl. I really don't recall. I would take up too much time trying to turn them pages, probably.
Marilyn Coulter.
During the time that you were here, they, as you said, they had a lot of different training things. One of the things that they did start was employee involvement. How did you feel about that when they had the different types of employee involvement in making decisions about the car? And were you a part of any of those groups?
Yeah, I as far as, you know, because they tried to introduce everybody to get involved as far as employee, but I still believe that management did not want to listen. You know, it's like they would listen, but they didn't hear. They still, when it come down, it was strictly that was the way it was going to be.
Well, with that, the other thing I want, that one final question I wanted to ask. Did you think that working in the plant for women changed during the course versus coming in and being a piece of meat and retiring? Did the environment change for women in the plant?
I think it did, but I also think that there's a certain aspect, you know, it's like you've got to carry yourself in a certain way no matter where you're at and respect yourself in order to receive respect. So I think that, you know, that is the biggest aspect of it, you yourself as an individual. And I think there was some changes, you know, other than not just within a female, but I think some of the other, you know, with the males or whatever, and just the environment from women. But there was still a lot of men that firmly believed in the latter part that it wasn't a place where a woman belonged in the first place working. But I think that changed a little bit, you know, over the years. But when I first hired in there, you know, it was like, mm-hmm. you don't belong in here. What are you doing here? Some of them, not all of the men in there, but just some of them had that basic attitude.
Okay. And my last and final question is, I know that you were injured inside the plant. Were you ever a part of the sheltered workshop? And if so, can you explain what the shelter was?
The sheltered work group? No, I was never put into the sheltered work group. It was a group of people that had been injured in the plant, and they had specific jobs that they would do off the line. I don't recall ever being actually classified in that. But one thing I can say about that program, there was a lot of people on the line that would call these individuals lame, lazy, Jerry's kids, you name it. They categorized them. And it used to just irk me because the simple fact is, just like I would tell other employees, until you're in that individual's shoes, do not stand there and say that, you know, they're about nothing, because that's not what it is. You have no idea what they are going through.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.